Do you recognize this? How many have that on a screen that they own somewhere? Yeah. I have one loaded onto my phone, and there are different ways you can format it. It's an app. You can actually use it, you know, to show you maps, but it'll also talk to you. How many use that function on it? Now we're gonna see how. Sometimes at our house we've called it the Map Lady. You know, Stephen has an Apple and he's got a different one loaded onto his, and he can actually choose not just the gender of the voice, but the language and even the accent. So he has his set to this British fellow who can explain exactly where to go. We're not nearly quite so sophisticated. I'm just happy that I can, you know, get to Fred Meyer with ours. When I drove with Aaron all the way to Nashville, one of us would drive and the other one would Google. And it worked pretty good. We developed this kind of personal relationship with the map lady, and she got us all the way there. About the second day, as we were moving in things into her new apartment, we had to borrow a truck because there was a bed and a desk and a lamp and all sorts of things that we needed to move into her place. And I don't know, I think it was 98 degrees and the air was nearly liquid with humidity. And this little truck that we had borrowed, the air conditioning was kind of off and on. So we realized we were getting late into the day and the store would soon close, so we were motivated. We were borrowing a vehicle and time was of the essence, so Map Lady, we're counting on you. You already know the end of the story. Take the 440, all right, doesn't seem right, but we got on there, and you never saw so many brake lights in your life. 4 miles of four lanes, dense and motionless. The fumes from all these cars quivering the horizon. I wanted to throw the map lady, you know, right out the window. 5 books of Moses, the Pentateuch, the Torah, some would call it, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and then finally Deuteronomy, all 5 of them. In some ways, I suppose it's amazing that we still call them the books of Moses. After all, Moses is, well, he's the object of some significant anger most of the way through. Moses gets a rap. Moses is the one to whom everybody complains about everything. Now, the writers of Numbers describe the scene in kind of rich detail. It's a story, after all, about journey, about a people escaping, a people moving through unexpected events as God's chosen ones. They move from place to place. They move from predicament to predicament. They move from conflict to conflict. It's like a great travel narrative with Moses as the map lady. Now, where have they been? Why, they're on their move because why? They've just left somewhere. Where have they just left? See, those kids with the new Bibles, they could look this up and they would know. They've come from Egypt. They've come from, and what have they been doing in Egypt? They've been slaves. They've been slaves. And what were their lives like as slaves? Awful. Unbearable. Impossible. Their families torn apart. Made to labor under the threat of violence. They were hungry and they were sick and they were impoverished. I gotta believe they were angry. They were frightened and desperate. So what did they do? What would you do? They cry out. They cry out, and God hears their plight and their misery, and something happens in the heart of Yahweh, right? Heaven looks down, and something happens. A new hero is raised up, an unlikely one, one that's willing to go toe-to-toe with Pharaoh and all the forces, one that would shout, let my, what, people go. Words that the universe will never forget. Hollywood's treatment of this core story in the First Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, is an interesting one. When the confirmation kids get to this part in the, you know, in the arc of their classes, I love that movie, The Prince of Egypt. I'm going to show you that scene there. Do you see the hard labor of the people? And you can almost hear the soundtrack going in your head, clank, clank, clank. It is this cacophony that breaks into song, as you might imagine. And then Moses, of course. Moses goes face to face with their oppressor, and of course there's ridicule and laughter, and eventually comes that line again, let my people go. In my childhood, I remember the Cecil B. DeMille version with Charlton Heston, and I think there was a little different flavor in that one. Do you remember the line that Heston delivers? Because it's a little bit different. Hollywood in the 50s thought differently about the liberation of God's people. He says, what did Moses say in the Bible? Let my people go. In that one, he actually says, set my people free. That's my best Charlton Heston. The rabble. Thanks, Marissa. The text says that they craved a strong craving. For what? Flesh. Something you could cut and it would bleed. Something you could put on the fire and it would roast and sizzle. Food you could eat. We've had it up to here with your manna. We remember that back in Egypt, we could eat for free, they say. The fish, the cucumbers, and the melons, the onions, and the garlic, and the pizza. Oh, that's in the movie. That's not exactly in the Bible. You know, the good old days, right? They wanted to go back. And did Moses just roll his eyes? You remember the good old days when we had everything we wanted. Never mind that they beat us. You remember the good old days when there was plenty for everyone. Never mind that they took our kids and stole our property. I want to go back. Never mind that they stripped us of power and participation, that they dehumanized us and called us an infestation. Maybe liberation's just too hard. Maybe freedom is just too costly. Justice, how about a buffet? Is that the lesson of the Exodus? That there can be no shortcut, there can be no easier way, no quick fix, that God's people just have to get over it, that God's people must unlearn the way of tyranny and oppression, that God's own beloved ones must unlearn the way of compliance to Pharaoh and his plans. I think maybe they needed a new map lady. And maybe we need a new map lady too. One that's not Moses and his 40 years of wandering and thirst and manna. A new map lady. Not Jesus and his baptism of fire and all that love your neighbor stuff. A map lady that's easier and simpler and more direct. One that might get us around this business of dying. When we assembled today together for worship, I asked you all to join me in what I still love is that little liturgical dance. You know, the cadence of hope and promise, playful and youthful, but assertive and resolute. Remember, God is good. I admitted to you that I like to do that, not only when I'm thankful, not only when I'm happy and confident, but at other times too. That when I'm frustrated or when I'm anxious or when I'm lonely, God is good. Here's another confession. I also like to say it when I run out of things to say. When I'm just used it all up. And when I'm empty, God is good. Even when I feel ignored and taken for granted, God is good. Even when I want to roll my eyes over what I see on the screen, tempers flare and perspective gets lost and fingers start to point, God is good. Even when it feels like my pride and my home and my people have been hijacked, God is good. Even when I want to laugh or punch or cry or run, or when I want to do all those at the same time, God is good. Even when I don't know what's next. I think we're going to need a new map lady. A new map lady that is persistent and one able to remind us. A new map lady that will empower and sustain us. Maybe we do have a new map lady. Could it be that the map lady we see and have is the Holy Spirit of God? One empowering us, one here that will get us to there, one that knows slavery and yet is still pointing to freedom, one that finds us in death only to lead us to life again. Moses said, "Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put spirit on them." And so God has. Amen. Amen.